$1.3 million, other state aid at $1.9 million, federal aid at $700,000 for in the year 2014-15, which is what we're levying for now. We're projecting approximately $51.6 million in revenues, and the following year, year 15 and 16, $52.6 million. And then you'll notice that the expenditures are the same from the projected to the flat levy projection.
Bob, on the expenditures, and I apologize, this is my ignorance coming in. Are bond payments part of the levy that's attributed to what we vote on an annual basis?
No. They are given to us, and it's in the board report here.
Yeah.
It's what's given to us by the assessor's office. Okay. They're calculated in here. I recognize the revenue as well as the expenditure.
Okay.
It's basically a flow through.
Okay.
What we're told we're to assess, or what they assess for on our behalf, is what we're going to pay out, almost dollar for dollar.
Okay, so we could say that on the expenditures, bond payments there, the third from the bottom.
Yeah.
Bond payments. There is a revenue item associated for $2.8 million up there in the revenue side.
In property taxes.
Uh-huh. You actually see that on someone's tax bill?
Yes, you do.
So it's on your tax bill.
When they pass those specific bonds.
It'll be on your tax bill. It'll be broken down by school district and then the bond payments and retirement payments.
Unfortunately. But for purposes of this, you're including it in the property taxes.
I have for an accurate presentation. So I've included on the revenue side and the expenditure.
Right. Okay, so in the revenue side, you're saying the proposed levy that's associated with that, right? That property taxes, is that what you're saying?
Yes. There's included in there is $2,800,000 in assessments for bond payments.
Okay, so the levy is actually $42 million-ish in revenue.
If you don't want to recognize the bond payment,
right?
I mean, you can look at it.
Yeah. Tomato, tomato. Right. But I'm just trying to get here.
Okay, so what I've done is I got an email earlier today. The retirements that we have been notified of. In the next couple of years, those have been taken into consideration with regards to
somebody's calling me to retirement.
One more retirement. Change the numbers.
I'm going to call with me during the presentation for this reason. So salaries went up 3%. I did take into account all of the retirements that we've been notified of, and there's about close to 35 of them to occur in the next few years, all the way up to about 17-18. Benefits went up by an average of approximately 4%, and that's a little bit above what we have been experiencing in terms of benefit increases. Purchase services, as you notice, I recognize the large increase both in the projected and in the flat levy projected, because I wanted to show, the district would fund soft cost of the proposed elementary additions through operational funds. And I've increased it about $700,000. I'm still going to need to find another $300,000 in this budget to adequately fund for the soft cost of the proposed additions. I've increased supplies and materials by about 1%. Capital outlay, you know, we've got about $1.9 million in each year. Tuition payments, Joe, you asked me why I kept them flat, or you know, you had some concern that I kept them flat. Yes, I did. I recognize that it's kind of a wild card based upon our kids who are enrolled in those particular programs, and then also the cost of the programs themselves. They're pretty consistently rather expensive programs. And, you know, you're talking $2.2 million dedicated to just out-of-district tuition payments. And then, as we've done previously, we showed other payments, which are really inter-fund transfers, and that they don't have a significant impact on the budget. Mm-hmm. So, basically, what we have for the 14-15 school year, with allowing the levy to flow as it ordinarily does, we have a slight surplus in 2014-15, and then basically a break-even point for 15-16. I show you these numbers now because we continue to work through them on an ongoing basis. And believe me, we wouldn't bring you a budget in a year or two from now with those kind of numbers. So we would constantly work to revise and sort of take out as much of the budget or potential expenditures as we can and present you with a more realistic approach.
Scott, just quickly on the tuition, I remember from last year and the year before, you typically keep that the same.
About $2.2 million. Yeah, and I think we actually overspent that this year.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a tricky number. It's a wild card. I've seen fluctuations up in that last month or two when we're getting ready to pay our final bills, where we might get $400,000 in a particular month for reimbursement for bills for us to pay. So, if I were to keep the levy flat, and that is not levy, well, to keep the levy flat, okay? So what we would do is we would recognize the same amount of revenue in this projection here as we did in the existing budget. The only thing that might swing a little bit, the bond payments are due to go up slightly this year. So not really a significant impact. I kept all the other revenue and all the other expenditures, and then this is what we're dealing with. If we were not to levy, not to allow the levy to float to its usual rate, as the assessor allows under the tax cap. And again, keeping in mind that I did increase purchase services by $700,000.
And that would bring our we are 1.5 negative there, the decrease, but that would just, we're not 1.5 in the hole, we're just decreasing balances by 1.5 million, right?
No, I would have a deficit. I would have a deficit of $1.5 million, approximately.
But we have reserves and all those.
Correct.
Right.
We have reserves.
You would have an operating deficit.
That's correct.
But you would still have budget surplus of whatever number minus 1.5.
I would not have a budget surplus. Mm-hmm. I would have a fund surplus.
Fund surplus.
Which would be X number of dollars, fund balance.
Fund balance.
But minus the operating.
Yes.
Now, I will tell you that board policy dictates that the administration will not bring a deficit budget to the school board. So the administration would need to adjust these numbers, or the board would need to make a conscious decision that it was going to allow the administration to pass an operational deficit and allow us to continue to move forward. In other words, there is formal board policy that says the administration will not bring a deficit to the board.
When we did the abatement. We did the abatement. Did that put us in a negative for that?
Yes, and you're going to be seeing a comprehensive annual financial report in the next couple of weeks, maybe at our next meeting. It's just about done. It's not quite there yet. I projected a deficit of $1.9 million. It came back at about a $1.4 million deficit. But that was a conscious decision to affect the levy. In other words, we presented the board with a levy. They decided, they told the administration to go back and abate $2.8 million of the levy. So what we did is we levied in our operational funds. We transferred $1.8 million from our education fund, $1.8 million from our edge fund, $1 million from the O&M fund into the debt service fund, which means we had $2.8 million sitting there. Because if we had not had the money sitting there, the assessor would not have allowed us to abate those taxes for that year, because, you know, their job, their function at the assessor's level is to ensure that the money is available to pay bondholders. So if we can demonstrate that the money's there and set aside in the debt service fund, then we can abate, but not otherwise.
So the amount you guys chose to abate, whatever year that was,
2 years ago, which was for last year's levy, last year's budget.
The amount you chose was equivalent to the bond.
That's exactly what we
abated. We didn't levy in the bond.
We did not levy. So I told you that I transferred $1.8 million and $1 million. We projected last year a deficit of $1.9. We came back at about $1.4 million.
That was the magic of that number. So, you know, Patrick, when we left last time on this subject, you know, thinking about you know, your query about flat and showing something to the community. It gets me thinking about 2 years ago where even I didn't realize that there was an abatement going on my check, you know, on my tax bill.
Well,
it's something when you're sending a message, you know, it goes back to that communication thing. And to me, the best way to do it is collect the money first and then give it back to an abatement. But when you do that, you got to figure out a different way to communicate than we did last time, because I don't think anybody was paying attention. And then it only caused problems the next time.
It was
people put their bills next to each other.
Yeah.
And say, well, what just happened? And we had right. the whole email.
Well,
it was very good.
So, is that a I actually got a few questions. Go ahead, Drew. I know you're...
Oh, no. I wanted to kind of give Joe kind of a little history about the abatement. That the $2.6 million, that there was... And I remember I told Julie, I said, we need to get this on the board. We need to... This is a huge thing that we've done for the community.
I agree.
And Julie blasted anything that we could to get that
papers.
Message out there.
It was in the papers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It was in the papers. It was on our on all of the forms of communication that we had, and no one said a thing. The silence was deafening. So, but to Joe's point, we really tried to make a huge deal about this to get some street cred that I don't know that we ever did, but it wasn't for a lack of trying.
Right.
So let me just make a couple, and Patrick, just give me 1 minute here. I wanted to tell you a little bit about the abatement. The reason we abated was because the one thing we don't want to do is to materially affect our rate. Because if we don't levy in a particular year, we lose those dollars for all future years, which essentially ties the hands of future administrations and future boards. That's why we chose to abate and not affect the rate itself. Patrick?
Because you can always abate.
You can always abate. But once you lose that... Well, see, I can only extend... Next year, this year, I can only extend my levy 1.7% greater than last year's extension.
Understood. Yeah.
If I freeze my extension... I lose the ability to go back and gain those dollars in future years. That's why we made the decision to abate. So
there's a compounding effect.
Right.
If I lose $1 million this year, it's $1 million plus. It's $1 million plus plus. It goes on to that for perpetuity.
Which is this, you know, this 1.5 million 6.2, then 1.513. This is projected in the first year, second year.
It would just keep
right.
playing
out. This isn't just 1.5 million once, it's twice. I mean, I had sent Bob some questions on Sunday to make sure I understood that.
I don't know. Maybe I'm getting lost in the numbers here. Mm-hmm. It could, let's just say, the 1.5 million could go away. And these, you know, we got 40 minutes here, and I want to get through this, and I got a lot of questions. The 1.5 could go away if we strike. We can't do it. Benefits by 1.5 million. Expenses.
Sure.
We could do it, right? We could do it in 2015. We could remove it.
Well,
we could remove.
I'm going to do anything on salaries and benefits because those are all negotiated items.
Okay.
You're
looking for a discretionary cost.
Yeah, so purchase and services.
Yeah, I'll give you a capital outlay. You could not do any capital projects of 1.8 million, and there goes your deficit.
Right.
I
exactly.
Mean, that's a decision.
It, 1.5, does it carry on? Does it carry on? Yeah. Or we can also remove this or remove that.
No, that's not the 1.5 that's carrying on, though. It's the fact that you're multiplying.
You will lose that $1 million or whatever
that. 1.7 by your previous percentage, you just never get back in 2014.
Right.
You'll never get it back. In 15, that 1.7, it's compounding every year.
Plus.
Mathematically, It's not the absolute number. It's the percentage.
Right, right. But we could levy in 15, 16.
Yeah, you can levy, but you lose the ability for what you were intended to levy for this year. That's gone. So this year, see how my extension, I based my extension for 14-15 based upon 13-14 and my ability to levy in 15-16 based upon 14-15.
Right.
When you do this, it's compound. I get that.
But it's...
So what's the driving interest in not levying?
Well, for me, it's not just the levy, it's the entire, and that was one of my questions I was going to ask Drew, and I guess we're all here at the Finance Committee, I'll ask everybody. 1.5 out of, correct, what term I should use, fund reserves.
Yes.
Fund reserves.
Yep. We get it.
Does that should impact, or does it impact us any way when we say, okay, what are we going to do for financing for phase one? First, we were at a 70-30 split, but now we know that we have 1.5 in deficit that we're going to reduce our funds amount. Do we now go to a 60-40 split in terms of financing with bonds and then 40 out of budgets? This is where I get to the bigger picture. What, as a board member, abatement didn't work. Probably the smart thing to do, but if we're trying to, what are we trying to do as financial students for the D41 and trying to make sure that we're doing the right thing, but we're also protecting, I guess, the finances of an organization that says, are we spending our money wisely? Can we cut 1.5 out of capital outlays? Can we cut 1.5 out of purchases and services? 750 here, whatever it is. Can we keep the abatement, if we want to say we want, from a community perspective, making sure that we're doing things well, hey, the levy is 0% this year, it's flat, but what that does is that impacts our financing for phase one. It was going to be 90% self-funding, 10% bonds, but now that we have the 1.5 deficit, fund deficit, we probably should go to a 70-30. What's the impact that on the
interest? Isn't that a little bit of robbing Peter to pay Paul?
Well, that's where I'm trying to put the big picture here. I want to have a levy conversation, but I want to have a levy conversation as a piece of a puzzle of a finance conversation.
A piece of background, too, and you may have been familiar with this, but it was 3 years ago, Bob, or four, that we stripped $3 million out of the budget.
Four years ago.
Right, so we reduced administrative costs, we bundled transportation costs, that saved us $1.2 million, and then another $700,000. We just stripped out of the budget, not touching classrooms, but did what you're looking at, which is why when I look at these dollars and the needle that Bob has thread to keep us in this middle column at a $36,000, if I'm reading that right, surplus, and then a $1,000 surplus, the way I look at this in terms of stewardship is, you know, and I think I told you in that email, I look at other districts to see what they're levying and look at their kind of last year to this year. We've really, Bob, with board direction some 5 years ago, wanted to go from these bigger increases, right, down to what's really needed. And I think that that's a stewardship question that at least I've seen in the last, you know, 5 years since we took that $3 million out of the budget have been able to provide.
I have two things. One is I always get back to the tax bill because you're affecting, at the end of the day, how are you affecting the people who make the payments? Mm-hmm. And the tax bill has a lot going on. So no matter what we do here, the tax bill may go up.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody's EAV gets adjusted, which we have, we're doing nothing about, then you get no benefit. They just look at it and say, oh, my tax bill went up another $400.
That was actually a comment from a taxpayer when they said, well, it was great you abated us, but it was offset by the fact that District 87 took more. I said, well, we don't control that.
And here's,
look at us discreetly as, are we doing our best work to be good stewards of the dollar. Sorry.
That's okay. And, you know, there are people, there are communities that do things that are, I don't know how unique they are, but they're doing them, that gets them credit. I'll give you an example. And I don't know how we can do it because I'm not a tax person when it comes to your tax bill. I just pay it. The thing is, Orland Park, the Village of Orland Park rebates their percentage of whatever the tax bill is. So they, and it's modest. Cities, villages are a very small part. But to get that abatement, you actually have to fill out an online application to go get your check. And then your check comes in March. So you're doing something proactively with them, and then they're going to send you the check. And to me, I don't know if we, if you're ever going to abate, to me, that's the best way to abate. Because that person's coming to you for money, not suddenly it's abated on a tax bill. And that's very effective. Anybody who lives in Orland Park knows it.
I think one of the fundamental questions we have to ask, does the board believe that we're spending taxpayer money wisely? I think we're trying to pull out $1.5 million, but in a sense, you may be saying, Paul, you need to look at your budget and you need to cut more money. And let's be honest, $1.5 million, it's going to come down to people. When 85% of your budget is human capital, mm-hmm. we're cutting individuals. That's where you're going to make your greatest. I mean, we can nickel and dime. Mm-hmm. There's no way we're going to cut the whole capital outlay. I wouldn't right. support it. I think it's a bad fiscal move long run. So we can...
We've already been there because in 97, that referendum was because roofs were not taken
care
of.
Yeah, it cost you... Yeah. You know, it's so much like the projected cost ongoing if you keep a flat tax rate, because the costs keep compiling over time when you're not doing the capital projects. So I think the bigger question is, do you believe that myself, because you have me as your employee, is bringing forward a budget that's fiscally appropriate and sound and thoughtful, rather than looking at pulling back the levy?
Okay.
That's kind of where I'm at.
All right,
with
so
this
let's do a 180-degree turn then. Bob, when interest rates go up to 5 and 6% 2.5 years from now.
They've been saying that for right. yeah. 4 years.
Yeah. I know somebody.
I'm right.
I've got a guy.
Yeah. I'm writing that one now.
You got that one.
It's in the tape.
We keep this all flat. We get 5%. We get 4% alpha on our investment return, right? We make our $1.5 million up in investment income.
Well, no, the most I've ever seen in this district in investment income is about $1.2 million a year, and we haven't seen that in about 5 or 6 years. Last year, I believe we received $111,000. From the first year when I got here 7 years ago, $1.2 million.
Okay.
So our average interest rates now are around 0.5%.
Right, because of the silly stuff that we're handcuffed.
Still, that
I'm still trying to get around.
Go to become a legislator.
That's my next step. Kick off the board if I run. If that takes it off the table. I was going to say, then, you know, if investment income gets us $2.5 million in 2 years, CPI runs about 1.7, our delta there. In 2 years, are we going to keep levies flat, or are we going to say, well, you know what, let's spend more money?
But that could be then the abatement discussion, number one. Or it could be that you're providing future boards and administrations the flexibility, because we have built into policy that we're at that 25% fund balance, so we're self-regulating those dollars. But it might provide, you know, a board, which is where I feel we are right now, with the ability to potentially move forward with phase one, because we have some flexibility with some of that reserve, and we want to put it into the right thing.
Okay.
And I think a community needs to hear, you know, they need to hear this conversation, which is a really good one. And I think your overarching question is one we have to ask ourselves all the time. Are we being good stewards? And that was the $3 million strip that we did about 4 years ago.
So in line with that, you know, I've heard the question, well, we'll continue to build our reserves as we have over the past 5, 6, 7 years. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, those days are done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We increased technology spending last year $800,000 over what it was the previous year, and we added 7 full-time staff members. That's $1.4 million, $1.5 million right there. That's what you added to this year's budget. So that's how this all plays out. I don't see us, and we were increasing fund balances by $1 million, $1.5 million, $2.5 million for 4 or 5 years. And this year we're going to be at about 17 point, I think it's about 17.5, down from 18.9 or something like that. So we've experienced a deficit this year. And Erica, to your point, one of the reasons we were able to abate money a couple of years ago was because we took $3 million out of our operating expenditures. I mean, we stripped about 10 full-time personnel out of our district, 10 full-time people. It's worth over $1 million right there. We slashed purchase services, and supplies and materials, and we kept everything else.
Okay. And I just want to keep asking.
Well, I think there's something else that happened, too. You had an increase in construction. They had a boom that increased your EAD.
That's one of the slides I'd like to talk about in the levy.
I mean, that's the magic here, right? I mean,
it's huge.
If the EAV increases, that has a multiple effect on how much revenue. And the more construction you have, and by the way, if houses trade, the assessor picks that up. So as prices go up, they start hitting those houses that traded with higher EAVs.
Well, even this year, we're going to get about $400,000 in new money just because of new construction.
Okay,
imagine when we were doing $6, $7, $8 million a year. Now, imagine what it was like when we were doing $30 million a year in new construction. We were getting $1.2 million, $1.5 million a year in new money just off of new construction. And then CPI, the historical average, is 2.5%. So our levies were able to increase $2.5, $3 million annually because of increasing EAV, new construction, and the CPI. So they all, you hear people mention.
But the new construction contributed in a way that I think our taxpayers don't understand.
They don't understand. I don't think they understand.
Look at your numbers from 2002 to 2008. I don't know what it averaged, but it went from 21 to 31 million.
Yeah.
Grant, can you click to that slide?
And now you're under.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know who's clicking.
10 million.
What page are you on?
And I don't know that we're going to hit 10 million because last year we hit about 7. So,
right. I understand.
It's about 6 minutes after 7. I know, Patrick, you have more questions. We kind of need to move through some.
Can
some
I ask one? Yeah, I want to ask one more question. What if we, and Erica, you could probably help me with this historic conversation in the sense that we stripped $3 million. Again, I'm still on messaging global pieces of puzzles and pies here. So what happens if we go to strictly teaching? That's all we do is we teach at school. And we cut, and I'm probably going to get thrown to the wolves here and whatever, something like that.
I'm hanging on here.
If we cut all of our after-school programs, all of our clubs, all of our athletics, Title IX, what if we get there? And what is that number? What
that
if we remove
around
all of our I'll call them voluntary, non-core, non-scholastic core.
And that's about $300,000 a year.
That's it.
Yeah, the supplemental pay is not that much.
Okay, all right.
Partly because to your question about stewardship, partly because the way the supplemental pay is done, structured is by group, so it's student contact hours.
Right.
So there's a real fine tune on how do we sunset groups that aren't working. So we have those dollars that we generate, and we're really rarely looking for more money. In fact, I think we stripped $6,000 out of that budget this year. There were some X number of dollars that we saved. So, again, there's that kind of fiduciary look at it.
I want to ask a question, though, to put the message out to our community. What happens if we just say, let's cut all that, it's $300,000, and we say, we're cutting so far to the bone, now we're going to start removing all $300,000 worth of programs. We will hear the uproar,
but is it a good battle to fight?
What's the strategy behind it?
The education of everything that we're trying to do to keep as much of our tax bills with our expectations.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's two pieces. Number one is, as a board member, I look at those activities and I see them as a really integral part of co-curricular learning and life and social peace and all that. So there's that piece to it, too. I mean, do we believe that that adds to the social fiber of the school? For kids that have no other opportunity to play sports because they can't afford Park District or they don't get a scholarship because they have extra scholarships. So that piece of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Outside of that, and outside of the, you know, the left side of my brain, what if we just... Is that a conversation that we even want to have?
We're having.
And you know what? And I think these are always good conversations to have. Another thing we can do here at this meeting is good because this is all part of the public record and we want people to hear it. It's my opinion, for the short time that we've been doing this, that we have a pretty good focus on not wasting money. We seem to be able to look around and find things. And we struggle when we're asked to add money. We struggle with, is it really a good idea? Should we do this differently? You know, we put back two of those positions you talked about cutting 3 or 4 years ago, because we realized we needed them. When we did, we said, great, let's put it back, but let's cut that somewhere else. So we went back in and we found something else to cut to do that. So I think the good part of this is that right now this board, I think in this administration, is looking at this exactly how we should be. Is there stuff we can cut? That's separate from how is the community receiving that. And I think what we've learned in the abatement was, I think that may have been the right thing to do. I wasn't a member of the board then, but we certainly didn't get the mileage out of that that you would have hoped to get out of that. And now when we go to build some schools, we're actually going to have to use $2.8 million of fund balances or of borrowing that if we hadn't done that abatement, we'd have now. And really, with the way that the structure is set up in the state of Illinois that allows us to go for these levies and it kind of locks our hands for how we can get money, we have to ask to get any money at all outside of just the normal increases. And my gut tells me that in the present climate, I don't think we're in a position to ask yet. I don't think we have a community that would do well with that. So if we cut ourselves to the bone and give back and lower taxes, we're going to get to a point, we haven't built a school in 50 years here, we're going to get to a point, maybe it's going to be 10 boards from now, that someone's going to have to say, look, a school is falling down, we need to build a school, and they're going to have to ask, and it's going to make it that much harder. We're going to be able, possibly, depending on how we vote today, to fix some of the problems that these boards in the last 12 years have been trying to solve, these portables. And we're going to do that because the previous boards have been pretty smart about levying, building fund balances, and getting us to this right spot. I don't think that the members of this board now, we're not going to waste any money. We're going to find stuff. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do that every time we get through the budget and where it makes sense. But at the same time, remember, we just co-sponsored a motion. A resolution to tell our elected officials down in Springfield, knock it off. If you're going to do this, we want you to consider what you're doing to us. When you say you want us to increase this or that, you make us do that, but you don't give us the money for it, and then we're here on these numbers going, now we've got to add this person, or we've got to add this, or we have to send someone to somewhere else. And we're not getting any extra funds for that. We can't turn around and say, well, they made us do this, so give us more money. It's they made us do it, now we have to find out where it comes. And so I think that's why these are good conversations. We need to do this publicly. We need to make sure we're asking the $300,000 question. Because I know if our goal is to get their attention, and I'm with Erica that maybe that isn't the right, maybe it's not a really good thing to do to the kids. But certainly, you do that, we're going to get people's attention. They are going to come here in droves.
Oh boy!
And everyone is going to be everyone's going to be really upset that we cut back at them.
Well,
and maybe that's, I get your point. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I get your point.
You will even get the non-parents. I got these kids hanging out on there.
Yeah. Supposed to be in the gym playing basketball.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's 7:15, and I have to move on to the...
You want to get through this, I'm sorry.
Because we have a couple other orders of business that have to be taken care of this evening also. So, this is our first go-through of the levy for this current year. We have it this evening for a presentation at the Finance Committee. We'll have a presentation again at the board meeting. It is up for discussion at the board meeting on the 25th of December, of November, and then what we're looking for is adoption on December 9th, I believe. I have until the last Tuesday in December to actually deliver the levy to the assessor's office. So, you know, one of the things that we've talked about is increasing, decreasing EAV, CPI, tax rate. What are the ramifications of all those different variables that are involved? So, if your existing EAV is flat with the previous year, that means your tax rate is going to remain essentially the same, unchanged.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've experienced over the past couple of years, past 4 years now, is a decreasing EAV, which forces the tax rate up. The other way is the way the tax cap was intended to work, and that is with an increasing EAV, it'll take your tax rate down. And you'll see in a couple of slides, that's exactly what occurs until about 2008 or 9. So this levy request is going to have a CPI of 1.7%, which was established last December. The request that you see in the report this evening is asking for a 4.57% increase, but based upon CPI, estimated EAV and new construction, I estimate that we'll receive about a 2.43%. That's all the variables that I don't know now. I don't know where EAV is going to come in, and I don't know where new construction is going to come in. The only thing I know is CPI. Yes.
So even though we request 4.57%, that's what you're saying here, the levy request?
Right.
We're still only going to get 2.43%.
The assessor will come, the assessor will send me the final, the third week in March, they will send me the numbers and they'll say, Bob, this is what your levy increase is going to be. You can apportion it as you please amongst your funds, but you're getting no more than X number of dollars. It's out of my hands. So, history of CPI. You know, I've tracked it all the way back to 91. They say the overall for the past 10, 20 years is about 2.5%, but you can see some of the wild fluctuations. 2.5 back in 06, 4.1 in 07, 0.1% in 08, 9, 10, 11, and then we're at 1.7% for 2012, and right now we're tracking at about 1.9%. For the levy that will be set for next year. History of levies. This is typically, the green bar indicates what the levy request have been, and then the light green bar demonstrates to you what the actual extensions have come in at. You can see back in 2003, they requested a 29% increase, and they got a 9% increase. What I've done since coming on board here about 7 years ago is try to narrow that band between the request and what the actual extension is going to come in at. And I think we've done a pretty good job of narrowing that gap.
The 2011 is?
That's the abatement. This is what I originally requested, and that's what we ended up getting after the abatement. And this is just the same chart expressed as a percent from 1 year to the next. History of new construction. You can see back in 02, 31.3. Now we're getting down. We had 28, almost 29 million in 08. And then this is where we really tanked, 9.9. I was really surprised it was 13.3. 9 million in 11, 6 million, 6.3 million this year. And when I called the assessor's office, they sent me the budget. EAV at about 94% of last year's numbers, and then new construction at about 10 million. And I'll be calling these folks again in the next week or two to get an update so we can give you a more representative number where we feel the actual levy is going to come in. So this is the growth of the levies over the past, since 2003. And as you can see, it was pretty good from 28.9, 32, 33.7, 35.4, 36.9. really substantial increase until we got around 2008 and 2009, when the economy began to tank. And a lot of this growth was fueled by rapidly increasing EAV in new construction. That's what was really driving up our ability or our tax extension. So earlier today, I received an email from Joe, and Joe asked me, he said, Bob, do me a favor, calculate what is the overall extension divided by the number of students. So this is a representative chart here in terms of from 2003 to this year. I wouldn't even buy that 12,390 because of the enrollment numbers. I use 3570 or 3580. I don't know where those final enrollment numbers. These numbers here were calculated off of the CAPR, so that would be enrollment as of June 30th. So this is more than likely going to change. But you know, we were dealing with some pretty significant increases, and then you see that it's kind of slowed. That rate of growth has slowed down. Pretty significant. So we get the tax rate history. This down here is the bond and interest rate. Okay. Again, we don't. That's something that we're given if we don't actually levy for. These are the operating rates from 2.7, 2.5 in 2009. Right now, I projected at about 3.6. And then this is what I wanted to show you. Increasing EAV, decreasing tax rate. And that's what happened in 2003. 2008 went up just a little bit, and then went down a little bit. And then when CPI started to turn around, EAV started to turn around, it started to force the rate back up again. And that's what we're seeing because of some pretty dramatic decreases in EAV over the past 4 years.
Bob, just total 5 minutes left of Finance Committee because we have a 5 minute break,
okay.
So we can breathe.
Okay, I'll get through this then.
We don't.
Okay.
There has to be a little transition time between one meeting and
another. Patrick, you'll see the $2.8 million. We consider these the operating rates, then the bond and interest rate. Total request is going to be $45,157,000 or 4.57% more than last year. That's my presentation for this evening. We'll be making the same presentation at the Finance Committee.
At the board meeting.
So any quick questions anyone might have on that?
I just want to make sure that we clarify when you give that number that that's the request, knowing that the actual
will be something less than that.
Yeah.
I'm expecting something under 3%. Of an increase.
That was roughly 50% of what?
That is 4.57% greater than last year's extension.
And the only thing I'd like to point out is this bond and interest it does expire in 17.
That's when we make our last payments.
And I think it's good to keep informing our audience of that over and over again.
Okay, so then one final order of business that I need to get through this evening is the contract extension for electric services. We went out to bid 2+ years ago. Integris Electric Services came back and they presented us with the lowest cost of 0.533 per kilowatt hour. I've had ongoing discussions. I sit on the board of the Illinois Gas Cooperative, so it's another energy purchasing cooperative. They're expecting a tight energy market for the next year. The following year in 2015 is when they're expecting some changes in pricing and energy because of the movement from coal-generated plants to natural gas. So my recommendation is that we renew the agreement with Integris for one more year and plan on going out to bid next fall for the year 2015 and beyond. They gave us a slight decrease, and Carolyn and I got an email from our representative. It's even gone a little bit below this number, representing another $5,000 to $7,000 a year in savings. So nothing dramatic, but still something less than we're paying now. What I would like to do is put this on the board agenda for next meeting as discussion and action, because I would like to lock these rates in as quickly as we can before anything happens with the economy or the weather or whatever the case may be, because believe me, hurricanes start rolling through the Gulf or political unrest in the Middle East, it all affects our energy cost. So are there any questions? And do you mind if I put this on the agenda for discussion and action at the board meeting?
Please do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then we made it.
Got a minute to stretch.
You had a minute. Patrick, one minute.
The boss in there makes you get through this.
He tried to corral these four.
He's five. Okay.
Eventually.
We have five minutes. Would you rather just take a break or any questions I can answer for you? Anyone have any questions? Or?
Hold on. Bob, there was another I just wanted to... wanted to make a recommendation of that, something going through policy.
Go ahead.
We had talked about, and this was maybe a month ago, as we were so busy at the last finance committee, we didn't have a chance to talk about it. But we had talked about bringing to policy committee a recommendation that they look at our policy for relating to business travel, and I've talked to Paul about it, and I think this section of the policy is probably warrants some further discussion. But my recommendation is that the finance committee would recommend that the section would go to. The recommendation to policy to look at that section.
Does the finance committee have a specific recommendation?
That's what I was going
to. Or just a general.
It's more to look at the policy itself and see if we're where we want to be. There were some holes I think that were highlighted a couple meetings ago. And I figured it would make sense to bring those back to policy to see if we could plug those holes.
Okay.
Do you want to identify what those might be before they go to policy?
Or do you want to have a conversation about it at some point? Or do you want to do it tonight? It's up to you.
I don't really have enough time to do that.
Mm-hmm. We can continue the conversation with Sam and Dean, who sit on the policy committee, around trying to frame the policy around travel,
sure,
and expenditures.
Sure.
I think that's where you would want us to spend our time, correct?
Right.
Okay.
And I think that's a really good ask in light of the conversations that we all just had about
1.5.
Yeah. Trying to find something.
We found six.
Right? Yeah, we found six.
We're rather saving the 300,000.
Well, that's still on the table.
It's still on the table. All right. Can we adjourn this?
Yeah, adjourn.